This is Don DeBrass Stocks. Yes, sir. You were there.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hi.
I know a gentleman, right, that sells bread. Mm-hmm. And he have sanitizer. And when the customers come, he make them line up 6 feet apart. Sanitizer, wash your hands, sanitize your hands, and you must have on a face mask. So some people talking, but they don't really know. You understand? And they could vote for that gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Have a good day.
Hello.
Alice.
Yes, hello.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I live in Erie Hill, and if I want to have bread, I walk from Erie Hill to Sugar Hill. That's a mile and a little more to get broccoli, beans, and those things to myself, lettuce, and come back, walk back. I don't take no lift from no one. You understand me? Then what mini marts do we have in that zone? I have to walk here. And I hear a man talk about addiction. Look, they got people that went to the university, got PhD, and can't speak. When I was going to school, the late Marjorie King tell me, you could do it. You could speak. And I was only in class one. They have people that have stage fright. And don't mind how bright they are. When you get on the stage, you have a little fright. So they can let the young people stay and let them, you know, develop. Some people go to public speaking, and though they go to public speaking, they still cannot get it done. You do have a pleasant day, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you very much. Hello. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm calling regarding the caller that spoke earlier about having to go to a different polyclinic because hers was closed.
And yes.
That she received from the nurse that is there.
Yeah.
My comment is, I think Barbados, we have gone a long way and we need to change the behavior we have towards people who are ill, especially the elderly. I experienced that 2 years ago when my mom was in the hospital. She got awful treatment from the nurses. Nurses need to understand that they're there to serve the public when they're not well. I don't know why it is that in Barbados we're not teaching them bedside manner and care and how to speak to people. I don't think it's a nurse's place to talk to people anyhow and insult them and treat them rough. I mean, why are they doing that? Is it because most of these people are getting public care and they're not paying for a service? I don't understand why this is still continuing in this dispensation.
Look, you know, ma'am, for every time somebody complains about one person and their bad behavior, there are several other people out there who've done it right and nobody has complained about it. And I think that you got to put it in perspective. Let's accept that it happens that way and that's her experience with one nurse. And we would encourage all of them to bear in mind that you can treat people that way, but it is not necessarily something that is right across the board. There are differences, okay? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon and welcome to the continuation of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks, going until 2 o'clock. Earlier, I played for you a piece which was done with Ken Jones, the funeral director. I'm told that the quality of the sound was not as good as I thought it was because I was hearing it clearly, but some people were not. So what I'm going to do is just replay that for you so that those who missed what he said would get a sense of the thoughts that he's carrying at the moment as we look at this COVID situation in the country.
David, I find that in December, We also get a spike in deaths in December through the years. But I find there's a big spike now in January where my funeral home, for example, we had like maybe 17, 18, 19 cases in a short space of maybe a two-week span, which is not normal.
What would be the norm?
There's a hold off in January. Like, January, you don't get so many deaths in January. Right? My brother, he has a funeral home also, and he called me and told me he had 13 cases. And I mean, then he told me some other funeral home had about nearly 20. So I find that's a lot of deaths for January, which is not usual. So it bothers me if we are really knowing the full way of people dying, if they die from COVID, dengue, or what, we don't know. And that's a bothers. It's worrying me. I feel a lot of people are dying from dengue. I mean, from COVID, maybe at home. Because the death certificate is written at home by a doctor. I'm not saying the doctors are right or they're wrong, but I'm saying that maybe, I have a family doctor, he said I died from, say, a heart attack. That one made COVID related.
What kind of ages are you talking about?
Oh, I find, well, so far I have two dengue cases, which is a young boy and another young person, but I find some elderly people have been dying at home, which is, as I said, it's not normal to me. It's worrying me because it's not normal for January that you have so many deaths in January.
So that was the view of Ken Jones, the funeral director. And as I said earlier, I reached out to some other funeral directors, Lynn Hurst and Downs and Wilson, but they didn't report that kind of pattern in January. I suppose by now you would have heard that there has been a staff report from the IMF on Barbados. And essentially what I'm seeing here is that they have concluded that the prolonged COVID-19 pandemic continues to have a major impact. The economy is estimated to have contracted by about 18% in 2020, with a gradual recovery projected to start in 2021. Naturally, tourism arrivals remain at a fraction of normal levels. Recent increases in COVID-19 cases in key source markets, including the US and the UK, will likely delay the projected recovery. Now, it says that in addition, a recent outbreak of COVID-19 in Barbados led to an ongoing lockdown that will reduce economic activity in the first quarter of this year. And in this very challenging environment, Barbados continues to make good progress in implementing its ambitious and comprehensive economic reform program while expanding critical investments in social protection. The statement goes on to say that key indicative targets for end December under the EFF, which is the Extended Fund Facility, were met. International reserves, which reached a low of $220 million, which was 5 to 6 weeks of imports at the end of May of 2018, increased to more than $1.3 billion at the end of 2020. But you got to listen to this part here. It says that strong steps have been made in implementing structural reforms. A new central bank law aimed at strengthening the autonomy of the bank while limiting the provision of credit to the government was adopted by Parliament in December of 2020. An actuarial review of the civil service pension scheme was completed in November of 2020, providing the basis for upcoming public pension reform. So look for that, upcoming public pension reform. All right. And in addition to that, look out for a new procurement law, which, according to the IMF, will strengthen the fairness, integrity, and transparency of the procurement process. The IMF says this is expected to be submitted to Parliament in February. Okay. This is down to brass tacks. Hello. I did raise the question earlier of, you know, what has changed so much in relation to the fact that over a considerable length of time with COVID, since March, between March and December of last year, we had done as well as we had, and all of this talk now about what Barbadians need to do would, you know, some people may be saying, okay, so tell me what's different. Well, it's pointed out to me that what has changed so drastically is the appearance of the UK variant in Barbados. This is a highly infectious virus requiring extremely strict levels to contain its spread. The person who wrote this to me said, we know the country has this variant, but as far as I'm aware, there has been no further information about additional variants that could also be here. There has also been no further information as to how extensive the spread of the UK variant has been in the country. Well, I suppose all you have to do is look at what's happening right now. And in the same way that they are telling us, the government tells us this, assume that you got COVID and assume that the other person has it too. So based on what is happening, assume that you got the variant and that the other person has it too. This is down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, David. How are you doing?
Yes, good afternoon.
I agree with that. I share those sentiments with the caller. That is the UK variant that is responsible. However, I ask the question, if that's the case, and we have a situation where we know that COVID is being imported in Barbados and that we also have community spread. Now, if you have a leak at your house, David, will you turn off the pipe at the main so the leak can be fixed?
That's normally what you do.
Right. So I am wondering, what will it take for the government of Barbados to close our airport for at least 2 weeks in the first instance? There are other variants. There's the Brazilian variant. We can't afford to have that here with the UK variant. They ignored the calls to close the borders earlier. They ignored the calls where we said that there was the UK variant and that we should ban tourists from the UK. They ignored that. Grenada banned tourists from the UK. Other Caribbean countries banned tourists from the UK. The health authorities here ignore the call. And now that is running rampant in Barbados, where trying to catch the horse that bowls around the garrison about 10 times already, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. What makes sense, David, and this is my suggestion, is that the airport be closed for at least 2 weeks while the country is on lockdown, so that we can do an assessment, a thorough assessment.
Then you say close the airport for 2 weeks.
Yes.
What are you closing it from? You're closing it from imports too?
No, you're closing it from passenger commercial activity with passengers, except for emergency medical relief, where persons need to fly out of Barbados or persons need to fly in here for medical emergencies. Apart from that, no leisure tourism should enter this country for 2 weeks.
Then we can okay. Do a proper assessment. Okay, let me, I think what matters more than anything else, even if one supports the idea of closure, it is, so what are you going to do within the 2 weeks that will put you in a better position? Let me make the point, put you in a better position, that when that 2 weeks is up and you reopen, you will be in a better situation than we are right now. What is it that we would need to do in the 2 week period?
What we should do is to send off some more samples post haste, not like how the last one was done, post haste, so that they can be tested for the other variants also, and also do an assessment of the extent to which the UK variant is prevalent in Barbados. If it's only in pockets, if it's widespread, whatever, you have a handle on that. But you have to stop the source first, and that's what the 2 week period would do. And then in that three period, we'll get the results of whether the other variants are here.
We have to do more than that. Also,
we'll be able to, At this point,
mm-hmm.
will it take 10 COVID deaths a day for the governor of Barbados to close the airport?
No, but I'm not going against your argument, but I'm saying to you that that by itself is not going to be enough. One of the reasons why I'm saying it is because coming out of the presence of the variant, the UK variant here, there is now a discussion about what quality mask we must wear. To me, we have to be getting a bit more information about what are the characteristics of the other two main ones, because there are other variants too, but the two main ones, one out of South Africa, the one out of Brazil.
Brazil, right.
And given the fact that we have the situation there in Guyana, where they too are worried about it, and there's a traffic that takes place between us and Guyana, we would also be worried about the Brazilian variant. But it is, what is it? What additional measures you would have to take to protect yourself just in case that those two variants get in here? So it's not enough just to shut down and say, well, you want to find out whether it's here. You want to prepare yourself just in case.
Right. But what you need to do then is to really limit person-to-person contact going forward. And if it means that supermarkets will only do deliveries, that will have to be done. If it means that you have to curtail a lot more of the movement of Barbadians for that within this 2-week period, Barbadians understand because the threat is real. It is no longer enough to have the government come with these press releases now and then. A few persons are just so afraid. And then they're seeing persons dying daily. That's where it really hits home. When your relatives die or your relative is sick, then it really hits home that this thing is really extremely dangerous. But what the government should do right now is what I suggested. I don't believe it would kill Barbados as a country to close our airport for 2 weeks. It would not. It would stop traffic from coming from wherever, and then we can do a proper, thorough assessment. It's like a leak. You're trying to fix a leak outside, but inside your house, but you have the main floor and all these things. How's that going to work? So the leak is the COVID and the community spread, and the stopping of it is turn off the main at the airport to all visitors. Only persons should be allowed to leave in emergency, and we have facilities for that.
In December, if we had said that the government needs to take action before elderly people in Barbados start dropping dead in the accident and emergency department from COVID, it would have been described as being alarmist.
Mm-hmm.
We are now going through an experience that if we were not going through it, people would say you're seeking to cause panic.
Right.
The question here is whether the public relations approach to the worst aspect of this pandemic in trying to shield people may not necessarily be postponing the inevitable and shielding them ultimately from coming to terms with the reality of what faces us. And in so doing, it has the potential to create the very thing that the government wants to avoid. Because you can't tell me that we are not panicked already by what's going on.
You bet. And not only that, the government has no credibility right now. I mean, they haven't been leveling with the people of Barbados. Nothing's wrong with taking...
What do you?
Nothing's wrong with taking us into their confidence.
What do you base that on?
I base it on the same thing that you said. There's no way they don't want panic people, but persons are we we pride ourselves on being a literate nation. I think it's supposed to be 95% literacy. Persons understand. This thing is happening not only in Barbados. People are dying daily in the USA, daily by thousands. People know. People have families on there. They can relate to it. So I don't believe that people would panic like years ago.
Let me ask you this question.
Lay it there on the table and say these are the measures that we need to adopt. And adopt the measures and stop playing around. I believe that the Minister of Health is a dismal failure and he should resign right away. When we spoke to him, a call for action to be taken against the UK visitors because of the variant, he dismissed it. And the same way he dismissed it, I believe that he should be dismissed from his job or should have the decency to resign. I'm publicly calling for the resignation of Jeffrey Bostick, the Honourable Jeffrey Bostick, from being the Minister of Health. He's a dismal failure because he's allowed that UK train to come into Barbados by not insisting. If it were in his position, I would have insisted that persons from the UK be banned from traveling to Barbados. And if that's not the case, if they want to stay with that source for market, then make it clear that persons from the UK can only come here if they're long stay. If you're not staying for less than 4 6 weeks, you can't come. For more than 6 weeks, you can't come. And make the quarantine period for all those high-risk places, UK, Canada, United States, quarantine 14 days minimum. All this nonsense about 5 days, I mean, it's just making sport. Prime Minister came and talked about if you have a negative PCR test, you can remain in a quarantine for a minimum of 5 days. That is ridiculous. It should be 14. There's no way that all this is happening around us and they stay with this mamby-pamby 5 day thing. People, they're not taking it serious, but want us, the population, to take it serious.
Let me tell you what the next frontier of this fight that I am looking at with deep concern. We flagged it a long time ago. The geriatric hospitals in Barbados. And while we are at that, the focus has been on the public institutions of Barbados. But the private institutions also need to be looked at and we need to know what's been happening in those places. Because, you know, all the focus is on the public institutions, and those other operators get a pass. When they are all in this together, community spread does not begin and end with us out here in the community and the government institutions, and they're left out. But I want to say that right now, the challenge with respect to the point that you're raising about how much information should we give, that challenge exists right now with the geriatric hospital. Now, we also have it in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital too, because they came and told us that a certain number of people working in that institution have tested positive. They have not told us anything since then. We can only assume that nothing else has happened, but we wouldn't really believe that, would we? Because we know how protective the government has been for the simple reason that from day one, all that it did, it emphatically said it did it because it wanted to protect the QEH from COVID. And finally, we are at the point where what it sought to do was not achieved. So when you talk about leveling with us, forces us in a direction where we have to ask the question, what are you doing specifically? Since we've had the prison, and we know that other institutions can have a severe blow, do you believe it is necessary to tell us what the steps are? Or are you satisfied with a comment that says, we have put the necessary steps in place? Would you live with that? Are you there or are you gone?
I'm there.
Would you live with that? What are you asking for?
I'm saying that it's smoke and mirrors with the government. I'm asking for transparency. I'm asking for them to level with the Beijing population. The smallest child can understand the severity of the situation if it is explained properly. I believe that it is time for this government to not think that we are fools and that we are educated persons. We will spend a lot of money on secondary education and tertiary education. We can all understand what is happening. Level with us and let us take us into your confidence. Let us be on board with you. Right now, there are more questions than answers. I saw last night, David, and I want you to give your honest, objective opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
One of your journalists last night had to speak with Ms. Liz Thompson when she said that as of yesterday's date, there were only 15 COVID deaths. And she was well aware that with a state of, say, that the dashboard says 15, but we have to add another one that makes 16. She wanted to say to the journalist, I did not misspeak. The dashboard says one thing, and I was just quoting what the dashboard says. I mean, that smacks of arrogance and foolishness. That's all I can say. You're there, David?
I'm here.
You heard what Kirsten Brown said to her last night.
I had missed that portion. I heard the portion where the minister, the attorney general, began a. My apologies. We had a situation. I listened to what was said between the exchange between Stetson and the attorney general. The attorney general had gone into a part of the presentation where he was talking about, he referred to what had happened in the first phase, how well the government had performed and that sort of thing. And then he started to look at today's situation. And when asked whether in retrospect he would not have conceded that some errors had been made, he said, no, he don't want to look back, he want to look forward. Well, he was the person who started to look back, you know? But that is the kind of thing. Look, the truth of the matter is that this government will find itself at times feeling as though it is hard done. Why? Because mistakes will be made from time to time. And there are a lot of people in Barbados who have supported the government, but they are not going to support everything that the government does. And if the people feel as though, you know, if something needs to be corrected, we ought to be able to say that it needs to be corrected without it appearing as though you want to kill the government for everything that it has done. There are some people who want to get it for everything. But there are a lot of people who are looking at things on merit. And your comments are particularly strong today. But I hope that, as the Prime Minister says, they are listening and that they are mature enough to, you know, to sift through and recognize when, you know, people are making genuine comments. And in your case, you are not a person that I have heard call this program before. You are, if you've called before, your calls are limited. And therefore, people like you are coming forward and making these observations. They need to take them seriously because politicians, Prime Minister said something last night, which was quite interesting because she said, I don't make promises. As a politician, I don't make promises. But I'm making this promise. Politicians have an image that suggests that they like to sidestep and feel that they are clever because they have been able to sidestep a question. But at the end of the day, if it is a valid question, many people out there, as you said, in an educated country, are going to say what you're doing. And your credibility is what matters. Because this is one issue that requires that the government maintains credibility because it's a serious public health issue. And those who are making the presentations must, of necessity, ensure that even though it's difficult, it is necessary to maintain that credibility.